the way out of burnout, the first step out of burnout is to actually nourish ourselves. You start with the very basics. It's like resuscitation is always A, B, and C, airway, breathing, circulation. So our way out of burnout is the basics. It's like going back and nourishing ourselves. So nutrition, okay, a movement, exercise, movement, attention to our sleep, mind-body practices, time in nature or whatever it takes. It's this first self-care and self-compassion and self-nourishment that will get us out of that situation.
Are you a health professional wanting to explore all the options life has to offer? Then you've come to the right place. The Balanced Medics Handover podcast is all about living outside the box of what we've been told. I'm Isabella, your host, a junior doctor from Australia and trained coach. I'll be interviewing health professionals from all walks of life, artists, authors, non-clinical specialists, and more. These stories show that our choices are endless. Let's take the journey together. This is The Handover. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Balanced Medics Handover podcast. This episode, we have Dr. Malathi Acharya on. She's calling all the way from California, and it's so great to connect with physicians from all over the world. Dr. Malathi is a doctor that went from burnout to having her own practice in integrative medicine. So I'm really excited for her to be here, share her story, and show that we can move from a place of feeling tired, feeling burnt out, to one that has greater fulfillment and greater control of our time. Without further ado, let's hand over to Dr. Malathi. Hi, Dr. Malathi. How are you? And thank you for being here today.
Hi, Isabella. I'm doing well. Thank you. And thank you for having me in this podcast.
Now, can you start? I like to start the episode similarly with everyone. Can you share your story and how you got to where you are today?
My journey in medicine, in the field of medicine, started as an internal medicine physician. So I finished my med school and did my internal medicine residency program, and I became an internal medicine doctor. For the first decade of my career, I was a hospitalist, seeing patients in the hospital where, you know, they would get admitted. It was very high, intense, fast-paced job because patients were usually sick. So it was a matter of stabilizing them, getting them better, then getting them better enough to go home. And, you know, I did that for about a decade. So after about a decade as a hospitalist, I didn't want to continue with that high pace of that particular field, and I switched over to become a primary care physician in the community. It felt like a different job, but it had a lot of advantages. I would see patients. First of all, patients were not as sick as what I would encounter in the hospital. I would see patients over a period of longitudinally. I would have good, wonderful interactions with them. I would get to know them not just as a patient or as a person and what happens in their family and in their life. As I was entrenched in that practice, two things started becoming clear to me. One was that the Western system of medicine, or the allopathic system, which is what I have been trained in and practicing, is very a disease-based paradigm. Meaning, if patient's symptoms and testing did not fall into a specific disease category, I found that there was not much I could offer to the patient in terms of symptom relief or wellness or how do they feel better. So it was very disease-based. And the other thing I noticed was my patients would always keep asking me, "Doctor, what can I do naturally to get better? Or how can I adjust my diet to relieve a particular symptom, you know, whether it be low back pain or GI symptoms?" And yes, I would be able to give them advice on that, but I was not satisfied with what advice I was giving them. I was like, I really don't know a lot about this, and I felt that I wanted to look around and see what I can learn. So I started looking around to see how I can enhance my knowledge. And about that time, I was also reaching a personal milestone, birthday, and I kept having this feeling of lack of sense of achievement. You know, I've done a lot. I mean, I've had a varied professional, you know, in terms of my experience, I've had varied experience. I've seen patients through the entire spectrum of, you know, illness and wellness. I've also done a few extra things, extra roles where I worked. But I kept having this feeling of lack of sense of achievement. So, you know, as I looked around to see what else I can do, I found this fellowship, integrative medicine fellowship at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine in Tucson, Arizona. And I decided, I was very fascinated by the concept of integrative medicine, you know, bringing in treatments, not just using treatments from Western medicine, but bringing in treatments from other systems of medicine. So I joined the fellowship, and that was when the pandemic broke in August of 2022. So it was pretty much the, you know, thick and thin of pandemic, but I had committed to this program earlier, not knowing the pandemic was going to come, but I decided to go ahead with it. And on looking back, I think it was one of the most rewarding experiences in my life, you know, despite the heavy workload and all the stress and everything, I found, you know, the studying that I had to do for the fellowship, you know, I had to put in 8 to 12 hours of studying every week, was the most fascinating thing for me. It was wonderful. You know, they always say that, hey, if you enjoy doing something, it won't seem like work. And for almost the first time in my life, that was when I felt that it was so enjoyable that it didn't feel like work to me. And I completed the fellowship, and then I was so, what I learned in the fellowship actually helped me a lot. It helped me survive the pandemic, and not only survive, but it also helped me help my patients better, because only if I am in a good shape, I can help the patients, right? So what I started practicing little snip, you know, few things about in every unit or chapter I learned, and I started practicing it in my life, in my self-care, and it helped me really survive the most highly stressful time of my professional and personal life, right? That's what COVID was for most of us. And by the time I finished the fellowship, it was very clear that was the way, type of medicine I wanted to practice. So I left my employed position and I started my own practice. And Ayur Integrative Medicine was born.
Oh, that's so great to hear that you started in a very different place to where you are now. And you made it work, and now it's like doesn't feel like work. It's something that brings you a lot of joy. Just for those who are from Australia, which I think it's a bit different, hospitalist, I guess, is working on the ward. I think that doesn't exist as a specialty. Maybe it's like a CMO, I don't know, here. So it's just interesting to see the different specialties. And then integrative medicine doesn't seem to be a thing here yet either, but I'm interested to see if it does, because we have lifestyle medicine now. And I think
lifestyle is one part of the whole thing. Integrative medicine basically brings in treatments from other ancient systems of medicine, like traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, or it could be naturopathy, it could be homeopathy. So basically from other alternate systems, as well as complementary health practices. It could be manual medicine, it could be osteopathic manipulation, manual medicine, you know, massage and all that, or energy medicine. So it brings in treatments from all of these other systems. But here is a key distinction of integrative medicine. It brings it together in an evidence-informed way. Yes. And so if done in such a way, these treatments add to the toolkit, you know, in addition. So it doesn't put the patient, pit a patient against Western medicine. It's not you have to choose this or that. It's bringing it all together. So the patient gets the maximum benefit of whatever healing practices or treatments that we know of for their particular problem.
Yeah, I like that way of putting it. It's not like either or, it's yes and.
It's yes and, yes, yes. And bringing evidence in, evidence-based or evidence-informed is very important, right? We just can't bring in things from here. We have to make sure it doesn't harm them. It won't interfere with the other treatment. So that is one of the key distinguishing factors in integrative medicine.
Yes, evidence-based. And physicians are all about evidence-based things. So that's so important. Now, I just wanted to go back a little bit. What drew you to medicine?
I was born and raised in India. I come from a family of physicians. So my mom and dad are physicians. And I pretty much grew up in a two-physician. I grew up in a two-physician household. So this was the only profession that I was exposed to as I was growing up. And the practice of medicine in India is different, but almost 50 years ago, it was very different. My mom had her own, she is a general practitioner, and she had her own little clinic in the community. And because she was a woman, female physician, then all the women patients would come to her, and she was very well liked in the community. She was not just treated as a doctor, but also very well respected. People would invite her to their homes. You know, when there was a wedding in their homes, they would invite her first and show her, you know, all the wedding trousseau and stuff that they bought for the bride. And I would go with my mom to her patients' homes, basically, you know, in the neighborhood, to look at all those, you know, beautiful trousseau, you know, saris and jewelry and all that. And I was like, huh, this looks really cool. You know, if I become a doctor, people will just invite me to their houses and show me all the good stuff. So it was one of the earliest memories I have. But you know, growing in a two-physician household, this was what I was, exposed to. And I went on to become a doctor.
Yeah. People not seeing Dr. Malathi has a big smile talking about this. It looks like they were, mum was a big role model for you.
Yes. Of course, the practice of medicine is very different now in both in India and here, but it was different at that time.
I wanted to ask you more about your experience with burnout, because it's such a common thing. I think most physicians have a struggle with this at some point in their career. Can you share your experience?
I would say that what burnout looked for me, people have different symptoms. You know, if we take the classic definition of burnout, Maslach's definition of burnout is emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, and lack of sense of achievement, right? So for me, burnout what I was experiencing was as a persistent lack of sense of achievement. You know, this, as I said, I was reaching a milestone in my age milestone in my personal life. And most people are happy, you know, when they go over that milestone. Okay, I have a few more years to retirement, and then I look forward to retirement. While most of my peers were in that state, I was just feeling that, what have I done in all these years of what I've, you know, my medical profession, my medical career? Am I even helping anybody? I don't feel like I'm making a difference. So this lack of sense of achievement kept, you know, plaguing, you know, pulling at me. That was what it looked for me. The fellowship actually helped me, and I'm going to share how that actually happened. I started going through the units in fellow, so I was in this state when I started the fellowship, right? And again, we were reaching a very tough time in the history of the world and in my professional career history with the COVID pandemic and all the stress and workload and the intense personal and, you know, stress at work, stress at home, fear for our safety, fear for the safety of my family members, so many different things going on. The first unit in the fellowship curriculum, there was a chapter on meditation, and specifically prayer meditation, okay? And in the curriculum, they would say that, okay, there would be certain exercises where we had to practice it and then report back before the unit closed as to what we experienced, so that we get an experiential on all the things that they teach us about. So it said, okay, why don't you, it talked about the benefits and how research has shown that prayer meditation is really beneficial in health and well-being. And it said, okay, why don't you practice a prayer meditation for X number of days and then report back? So I lived in the United States, but my parents still live in India. And because of the pandemic, the travel between the two countries had shut down for a period of time. And I was worried about their safety and how they were and the fact that I couldn't go if there's anything. So I chose a prayer that my mom would say when I would hear my mom say, recite when I was growing up in my native mother tongue, which is Tamil. And I used to, in the morning when I got up and I was getting ready to go to work, I would put the AirPods on and listen to that prayer on YouTube. And as I would listen to it and remember it as my mother would be reciting when I was growing up, even though I was thousands of miles away from my mom, I would feel this connection with my mom and a great sense of calming. You know, in the morning is usually the time when my mind goes berserk. You know, oh my God, I have to finish this and this before I leave to work. And I don't know how my day is going to be. How many patients am I going to see? How many other lab results and messages I have to deal with. So there's all this chatter going on in the mind. But then when I began my day with this prayer, it was very calming and grounding. And I felt like I became more and more grounded and calm. And I was able to begin the day with a great sense of calmness rather than chaos. So that was my experience with the prayer meditation. I still, you know, till today I do it, and I do it every single day, because even now when if tomorrow I have something on my schedule that's worrisome to me, I know that the first thing I get up in the morning, oh, I have this. No, but before that, I'm going to have, you know, listen to this prayer meditation, and that's going to calm me down. So it's that, you know, the benefit of the meditation triggers a relaxation response. So it's a repetition and passive return. Going back to the same thing repetitively triggers the parasympathetic response, right? So that was, I firsthand experienced it. Then came the chapter on nutrition. And as I learned, I just made a few key changes to my food habits, as well as the food habits of my household. And I noticed how I felt differently because of the healthier, nutritious food that I started consuming. Then came the chapter on mind-body treatments, and they talked about yoga. And although I grew up in India, I never learned yoga here. And I know yoga and meditation are all offered a lot as wellness programs in places of work, but I always consciously stayed away from them because they would be mostly during lunchtime. And in lunchtime, I just wanted some quiet time and I wanted to eat my lunch. So I would stay away from any of those activities. But my curiosity, as I was reading about it in the fellowship, made me, you know, join a yoga class in the morning and learn yoga. And yoga by itself is a wonderful mind-body exercise. You know, how you tend to understand, how was I when I started learning, how I wasn't able to do the pose, but with practice, how with my breath and focus that I put in internally, how I make an improvement. Yoga helps the quality of life. Yoga helps physical stamina. I really felt my physical stamina, you know, increase, so I was able to withstand long hours of work. And also, you know, there was a time, it was very hard to carve out this time in this busy day schedule, okay? There was a time when we had 2 days of virtual work, and I made use of that opportunity, and I started this yoga class, you know, 1 hour in the morning, and I really had to plan what time I was going to get up, what all I was going to do before the yoga class, what all I needed to do after that and get to work when the clinic started, right? So, but it took me a lot of effort, but I carved this 1 hour's time, literally carved the time out of the day. And once, even when the virtual schedules ended and we had to resume our full clinic in person, this habit stayed with me because I had, you know, made this a new habit. And it was just this fact that I cared enough about myself to give myself this 1 hour of yoga time, that filled my compassion cup. You know, I was able to do this. I did 1 hour of yoga in the morning. My physical stamina is going to be better and I'm going to be able to handle anything during this day. It filled this act of self-care filled my compassion cup. So I was able to, you know, give more compassion and empathy to my patients during the day. So I can go on and on. Every single thing that I learned in the fellowship really, as I practiced, helped me heal and brought me to a place where I could introspect on what really gave me meaning and purpose. You know, but before I get to the point of introspection, I had to nourish my physical self, you know, good nutrition, attention to my spiritual health, physical health, everything. So, and when I got to the place, it was very clear what gave me meaning and purpose was to practice medicine this way. And it was very clear that in the constraints of my current situation was, I didn't allow me the freedom to practice the type of medicine that I wanted to practice. So I left and I started my own practice.
Yeah. Wow. That's so, a lot of really key points there of, well, you were very intentional with your time and you protected a part of your day for yourself. And that filled your compassion cup. And it's so true, like having that boundaries and really caring for ourselves is actually, people think it's selfish for some reason, but it's the opposite. It helps you to really be compassionate for others. And it's just really interesting when you have that flip of the switch in your mind, because I think a lot of physicians can be giving, giving, giving and not receiving anything. And it comes to a point where you realize your body and your mind and your emotions, just there's not much more left to give.
Yeah, absolutely. That the continuous giving, giving, giving internally translates to, I don't even have enough time for myself, right? So then that kind of flips to, why would I have enough? I don't have empathy and compassion for myself. So how can I have empathy and compassion for the person in front of me?
Yes, that is so true. Yeah. And it's getting to the point where you really believe that you deserve to care for yourself as well.
Yes. And when you take that step, it's a very counterintuitive thing, but when you take the step and you give, okay, I gave 1 hour for myself. I am feeling better because of that. So I am going to, all this energy, I'm going to help three more patients. I'm going to answer, you know, get to three more messages that are waiting tonight rather than wait for them for tomorrow. You know, it's a very counterintuitive process.
It is. And it also, it has a ripple effect on everyone around you too, because yes, if people exactly see you doing yes that, you're kinder to your colleagues and it just starts to spread.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that mentality does continue to spread, because I think there's like a way of thinking that it should be more, you just give. So I hope it continues to spread this ripple effect. I think it is.
And it's very important. It's important to focus on self-care and self-health, for lack of better word, I'm going to say self-health and one's own health consistently throughout. That's balance, okay? Every day, it's not that, okay, I'm going to work 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, and then focus on self-care only during the weekends. It doesn't, balance is every day. There should be, you know, we should be able to focus on, you know, some sort of meditative practice or something that triggers our parasympathetic response, something that activates our parasympathetic response to counter the chronic sympathetic activation we all experience from different stress. So, you know, practices to strengthen or activate our parasympathetic response, good nutrition, exercise, mind-body practices. It's very important that those things are done on an ongoing daily basis.
Yeah, and it becomes a habit, like you said, and that's what really carries you forward.
And that's true balance, right? It's not that, okay, I'll work hard for 4 days and then all the exercise and everything else comes on the 3 days. Yes, it's, you know, I'm not saying that's bad. Yes, you know, if that's the only time one gets to exercise on the weekends, it's fine, you know, it's stored. But it's for us to really, for lasting changes to happen, you know, for our health and wellness, I think it should be more consistent.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you there. And you know, on a similar line, on your 4 week holiday a year or however many weeks you get, that's when you can relax. Because I think most people at the end of the holiday are like, I still don't feel that relaxed. And it's like, yeah, a whole year of stress and then a few weeks.
It's depletion, right? It's a lot of depletion. It doesn't get repeated in 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, I wanted to ask you more about how you started your own practice. I specifically want to know, were there any barriers or fears before starting your own practice? And if so, how did you overcome?
Absolutely. While the path became very clear to me that this is what I wanted to do, it's actually both. Now that you ask me, my path became very clear. And, you know, I had been an employed physician for 20 years. And 5 years ago, I would have never thought of myself as someone who would leave the job and start something on their own. And pretty late mid-career like this. But as I went through the process, that path became very clear to me. So I left my job and I had an idea of what I do. I started seeking out, but I had to learn a lot. You know, how do I start a practice? How do I incorporate the company? You know, lots of foundational things about starting a practice I had to learn. And I learned, you know, I went along the way, I would ask, and I learned everything. But fear, yes, fear is there. Fear was there then. Although the path was clear, but there is fear. Fear was there then. Fear is there now. You know, first it was a setting up the practice. How do I do a website? And then looking for rental places. And then I was like, okay, then I did a little bit of more training. I trained in medical acupuncture. I certified clinical hypnosis. I opened up my offices. And I was like, okay, fine. But no, it's not fine. That's not the end of it. How do I market my practice, right? How do people know I'm here? So I had no clue how to do that. And I had to learn. I'm still learning a lot of how to do that. So there's a lot to learn when you start your practice, but you can do it and you can learn. You can learn new things. And fear is always there. It's only a man. Despite the fear, keep marching forward. Courage is walking in the face of fear. That's all it is, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's brave when you do it with the fear. It's if you're doing it without any fear, that's not really when bravery and courage come in.
Yes. So it's despite that, keep moving forward is what it is. There is so much for me to learn. It's very exciting because I'm learning a lot of new different things. There's a certain amount of control that I have to at least my routine and my day. I don't control you can't control everything around, but a certain amount of control over what I can do when. It's just that, you know, that I'm going to make a difference in people's life, and I'm going to do it in a way that feels balanced and repleting to me is what keeps me going.
Yeah. That's so great. That's so great that you found that spot, you know, you being able to help people without sacrificing yourself.
Yes, yes. Yep, that is important, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Now I want to ask, what is one thing you would say to a physician wanting to start their own business?
Do it. First of all, do it. Go for it. There is a lot of learning to do, but that's okay. You will learn and eventually know how to do things.
And I also want to know, what would you say if you could right now speak to your intern self? What would you say?
There are a lot. So the system, at least in the United States, the system of practicing medicine, a lot of new ways are emerging that are very promising now. You know, there is, it was either, you know, it was always this third party system. You go and work for an employer or you work for an academic. So there were very limited options several years ago. But now, and these limited options and the constraints of, you know, the financial and the reimbursement constraints of each of these systems led to high amount of physician burnout in the recent years. However, there are new models of practicing medicine that are emerging that are very, very promising. So 8 years ago, you know, I would have told my intern self, hey, you know what? Don't become a doctor, go and do something else. But now, you know, there are so many different types of systems and types of medicine that you can practice that there is a lot of hope. So, you know, explore, figure out what you want to do first, and then go on the path that makes sense for you. That's what I would say.
I love that there's hope and there's other options now available to change.
Other options, yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that you think would benefit the listeners?
I think it's, if someone is burnt out, it does not mean that they're weak or they didn't do enough meditation or yoga or whatever. However, in the what will empower us, the way out of burnout, the first step out of burnout is to actually nourish ourselves. You start with the very basics. It's like resuscitation is always A, B, and C, airway, breathing, circulation. So our way out of burnout is the basics. It's like going back and nourishing ourselves. So nutrition, okay, a movement, exercise, movement, attention to our sleep, mind-body practices, time in nature or whatever it takes. It's this first self-care and self-compassion and self-nourishment that will get us out of that situation. But while the problem of burnout is not caused by physicians, and as physicians, we cannot fix that problem single-handedly. There's a lot of institutional changes that have to happen. We have the power in our hands to work our way or get ourselves out of that very medically, emotionally, and spiritually depleting situation. We have, you know, we have that power in our hands. We didn't cause burnout. We can't fix it single-handedly, but, you know, we can get ourselves out of that situation.
Yeah, I spoke to a doctor who is particularly interested in burnout, Dr. Amy Innes, and she said while it is a system issue, individuals can help to change the system, but first you must help yourself before you can do that.
Absolutely, you know. It's not our lack of, you know, it's not that we are not efficient or not fast enough in documenting or not fast. It's none of those things, but we have the power to nourish ourselves out of the situation. And that happens just with basics. Like resuscitation is basics. That's how this is also.
Yeah. And I just want to add that studies show that at least 70%, even more, of health professionals are burnt out, of doctors. And I think the numbers just speak for themselves, and that it's not about being weak. It's more that it'd be surprising if you're not with the current state of things. So it is more common than most people think. And I think physicians are so talented. They're, you know, fast learners, hard workers. Even getting to where we are now, it's not easy, right? You have to have a resilience to get there. So
yeah. resilience to get, you know. Every day we listen to human problems, human medical problems, problems of the highest importance, right? Health problems are the highest, you know. So we listen to human beings' sufferings and human beings' problems, and that is emotionally and spiritually draining. And if we don't have that time and space to replete and re-nourish ourselves, it will lead to a constant negative state, which is what burnout. this.
It's been such a pleasure chatting to you and hearing your journey, and also that such a vision of hope for the future and for doctors as well in the future. How can people reach out to you? How can people find you?
My practice is called Ayur Integrative Medicine. Ayur is the Sanskrit word for life. My website is www.ayur.today. I'm on social media. My Facebook is my full name, malti.acharya7. I don't know why that number got stuck on my Facebook thing. My LinkedIn, in LinkedIn, I go by Dr. Malti. And my Instagram handle is Dr. Malti 2023.
Yes, thank you so much. I'll put all that in the show notes. It's been so great to connect and chat today. Thank you for coming on.
It was wonderful chatting with you, Isabella, and thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Balance Medics Handover Podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, I'd love for you to take a minute to rate and review this podcast and click the follow button. For more resources, check out the Balance Medics website. The link to this will be in the show notes below. See you next episode.